This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Let's go around the horn. We've settled in a little bit after yesterday's just debacle of a reaction to the Jets and the Giants. I still can't get over that this is the state of New York football. It's absolutely pathetic. And let's do salutations. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing good, Dave. A little bit nervous because the wild card round starts tonight with my Yankees going to Cleveland. And I got to tell you, this is going to be a hell of a matchup. I just hope my Yankees find themselves on the right side of it.
I do not, and I don't think Rick does either, but we will.
You're a bad guy.
I'm not a bad guy.
You're a bad guy, and we all know that Rick is a closet Yankees fan, so stop it.
All right, Rick, are you a closet Yankee fan? Good morning.
I am not a closet Yankee. My son is a closet Yankees fan, yes. Milo likes the Yankees.
Why don't he's in the closet? He's out and about.
No, he's not out and about, because he pretends to like the Mets in front of me, and then I catch him with his mom rooting for the Yankees.
Really?
Telling her
just
that
like
Aaron
he
Judge
pretends to like the Islanders, but he really likes the Lightning?
He was a little bit. I was surprised because he does like the Lightning, and my wife been sneaky the entire time. She's got Rocco wearing. Her parents sent her a bunch of like lightning bolt stuff, like baby clothes. So before like the day of the game, she has him in lightning bolt either a onesie or pants because they think it's lucky. So they keep doing it. They kept winning, and then I was surprised because I expected Milo to be all pumped up this morning because they won the cup. And he was kind of like nonchalant about it.
He didn't
like,
care
no big
about
deal.
It, huh?
No, I was surprised. I expected him to be all excited. Like he asked who won, and we told him, and he was like, "Yeah." Cass is like, Do you want to see them raise the cup?" He's like, "Nah, after Masha and the Bear, let me finish this cartoon first."
The children's programming comes in first.
You know what aggravated me the most?
What aggravated?
Or what
you?
Continues to aggravate me the most is that the national media can't help themselves but take shots at my Jets every chance they get, every single chance they get.
I think the Jets are the only team that hasn't led the game yet. Rick, they're the easiest target I've seen. They're horrendous. And the Giants aren't much better, but you're upset that the Jets are having shots taken at them?
A little bit.
Why?
Because that's not their team.
Play better.
When it's your team, you're allowed to take shots. When it's not your team,
if it's your kid, you can say something negative, but if it's someone else's kid, then you can't.
Exactly right.
I understand.
Exactly right. Let's focus on really how bad New York football is. I came across this tweet this morning. Since 2017, the Jets are 16-35, and the Giants are 12-39.
12-39.
Now that's a 23.5 winning percentage.
I mean, 12-39.
It ain't good.
And it's not like any of those wins come in the first month of the season ever. So by the time you get to October, you're it's done. It's over.
Yeah, the New York football teams are the opposite of Pat Mahomes, who doesn't lose in September.
I almost felt like I was watching a different sport last night.
Does that not depress you?
Yeah,
watching that?
It's depressing. It's like Lamar Jackson is so good and so dynamic and you know, takes off and can make all these plays. And then Mahomes is, on a different level than anybody. I mean, I actually stand by the fact, Chris, that I think that Baltimore is the second best team in the NFL and Kansas City is far and away. I mean, they were unbelievable last night.
Yeah, they made a statement last night. They sent a message to the Baltimore Ravens. You think you guys are the bullies on the block? And clearly that's not the case. Pat Mahomes, you can't say enough about how good that dude is, especially when you bring pressure. Like, there are just some quarterbacks that defensive coordinator got to know better in terms of sending multiple, sending extra rushes at him. With Pat Mahomes, you can't blitz him because he knows exactly what he's looking at. And plus, you got to consider the Kansas City Chiefs have a 4x1 relay team as their wide receiver core. Everybody runs 4-3 or under. So, I mean, when you got guys in man coverage on the back end, I mean, if you don't get home with the blitz, then you're going to have some trouble. And Pat Mahomes has shown he's got the mobility within the pocket to be able to buy that extra second of time to throw the ball downfield. And when it does, it usually results in big plays. Like last night, Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator for the Ravens, blitzed 47% of the defensive snaps. And on those plays, Pat Mahomes went 17-20 for 240 yards and 3 touchdowns. And, Dave, it could have been 4 touchdowns if he hits that throw to Mecole Hardman after the sudden change when Chris Jones got the strip sack. I mean, the ball was in the end zone. It hit Hardman in the hands. He just wasn't able to come up with it. But that's how good Pat Mahomes is. That's how good he is when you send the blitz at him. I mean, the best defensive game plan, and not that there are any great answers when it comes to trying to defend Pat Mahomes and that Chiefs offense, but the best defensive game plan is to rush for and play zone coverage behind it, preferably something where you got 2 high safeties so you can keep everything in front of you. Kind of like what we saw the LA Chargers do a week ago, Like, at least just slow them down. Make them put together 10, 12, 14 play drives. To me, that's the thing that I would have done if I was Baltimore. To me, that's a complimentary defensive game plan because the strength of your team is running the football. Lamar Jackson is a different quarterback when he's playing from behind, as we saw last night.
Oh, he's a different quarterback when he plays against the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, what is he? He's 21-1.
21-1 and 0-5 in playoff or Chiefs games, yes.
Yeah, which is crazy. And it almost feels like Pat Mahomes and that offense is like they're getting better. Like Pat Mahomes is getting better. Like they gutted.
They had 500 really good yards offense. I mean, they got stopped twice. One of them was on a fumble deep in Kansas City territory, and the other was on they had third and inches and fourth and inches, and they couldn't capitalize. They could have easily put up 40 plus points on.
Yeah, they got sloppy for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, they had the three possessions where they got sloppy. Bienemy chewed them out, and then they still win by two touchdowns.
Easily won that game. Could have won that game by 25 points if they needed to or wanted to last night.
Yeah, I mean, it was, at a certain point, it was almost like they were, like, it was, like, they're having too much fun. And I don't know if the Baltimore Ravens are a team I want to, like, necessarily piss off that much. But, I mean, you start doing the Uncle Rico underhand to the fullback. I mean, there was, I mean, you're throwing a pass to your tackle for a touchdown.
Like you don't have enough weapons. Anthony Sherman, here you go. And the left tackle. I mean, it's they really are. I mean, they're unbelievable, this offense.
They were just trying stuff. And once they got into the third quarter, they were just trying stuff. Like, they did a flea flicker play, and somehow the ball ends up back to Pat Mahomes, and he ends up throwing it back to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I was just like, what are they doing? Like, they're completely empty in the playbook. They're just trying stuff like it was practice. I mean, I sent out a tweet. I thought that Andy Reid was being real disrespectful with the play calling just because it didn't feel like they were threatened by anything that the Ravens were doing on offense or defense. It's just like, you know what? Let's try this. We've been tinkering around with this play. Let's see how it looks against another team. Like, I just couldn't believe that the Chiefs were going to come out and play at that high of a level and Baltimore wouldn't be able to match that kind of intensity, especially at home. But, I mean, Chiefs team is different. They got a different gear. They got another gear. They showed that last night. They got another gear. Now, the only question is, are they going to be able to sustain this level of play for four more months? Because that's what they would be talking about doing if they're going to win the championship back-to-back.
Kansas City clearly went into this game realizing there was only one bye this season.
Yes. And they played with a sense of urgency.
Yeah, but I thought the exact same thing Chris thought. Was they're getting a little bit disrespectful with this play calling. Like, I mean, it was. I was like, I don't know if I want to poke Baltimore too much because you're probably gonna have to see them again at some point.
But I don't think they care. I don't think they're worried about Baltimore.
No, clearly they don't. And the fact that Lamar Jackson after the game said that, you know, Kansas City's their kryptonite, I didn't necessarily love that either. But I'll be interested to see what happens this week when what Bill Belichick does against this Kansas City offense.
I don't know that you can stop them. I really don't. I mean, they try to stop them.
I don't think you can stop them, Dave, but the goal is to try to keep the game close, try to make it a one-possession game in the fourth quarter and see what happens.
Which they had
last
night.
The Chargers Anthony Lynn wasn't wrong with his game plan. He wasn't wrong. He just had a rookie quarterback at the helm. He didn't anticipate that, and they didn't have some plays go their way. You know what I'm saying? Like that they could have won that game against the Chiefs last week. That was a winnable game for the Chargers. But I think you saw a little bit of the blueprint. It has to be being able to rush four guys and maintain rush lane integrity, keep Pat Mahomes in the pocket, and keep all of those guys, the skill position players, the receivers, the tight ends, the running backs, all in front of you. Don't let those guys get behind you. Like John Harbaugh talked about it on Monday Night Countdown when he was being interviewed by Lisa Salters. He said, we got to make sure that we maintain leverage on all of their skill position players because they can get away from you in a hurry. You got to have an answer for that. You got to be able to contain that. To me, that doesn't mean line up and play man coverage, even if you got two all-pro corners like the Ravens do. You got to play zone coverage. You got to keep it all in front of you and make sure everybody's got eyes on number 15. That's the only shot you got.
Yeah, but at least play press man. I mean, at least try to throw the timing off a little bit. Like, cover their speed a little bit.
Well, yeah, you can reroute receivers in zone coverage. You can do a reroute. You can do that. That happens. So, I mean, I don't know, man. It's just, you got to mix it up. I understand you got to sometimes send pressure at him and all of that other stuff. But, to me, when you see how efficient he was against the blitz yesterday and you see the command that he has at his offense, I just don't think you want to major in sending a whole lot of pressures and blitzes at him. because he's going to torch you.
And their defense was good last night. What, Baltimore scored 13 points with that offense, that high-powered offense? I thought Harbaugh made a horrible mistake kicking a field goal early on in that game.
Well, here's the thing, Dave. I'll say this, man. You talk about the Kansas City Chiefs playing really good defense, but I feel like that has more to do with the offense dictating the complexion of the game, man, because you make Baltimore one-dimensional when you go up by double-digit scores. And again, I'll come back to it. Lamar Jackson is not the same quarterback when he's down in a game. He's not. And that's something that he's got to improve on. That's the one thing that we wanted to see. Can Lamar throw his team back into a game? And he failed the first test of the season last night. That's the thing that he's got to get better at. Until then, the Ravens aren't going to do any high-level winning.
I mean, they'll beat. Yeah, I mean, they'll beat the teams.
Of course, on their
schedule, and then they'll roll the table.
I mean, high-level winning, like winning in January.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares if they're winning games against Cleveland in October. I mean, the ultimate, you know, decision on what they are is what do they do in the postseason and what do they do against the upper echelon. And so far, and as good as Lamar Jackson has been, and he's been great so far, in the biggest of moments, they have not shined the brightest.
No, they haven't. And I mean, listen, that. Their D has to be better, too. I mean, their defense has to help them out. Mm-hmm. Like, no one going into these games that once you get down double digits, it's hard for your offense to get throw themselves back into a game. I mean, you got to do. At a certain point, I felt bad for Patrick Queen and Marcus Peters. I mean,
they were picking on them.
They were getting exposed.
Yeah.
And their defense is better than that, or has to be, or Kansas City's offense is just that good.
Yeah, well, their defense missed an opportunity. I thought they got a lot of momentum when they got that turnover on downs, and then the Ravens come back and score a touchdown on that following drive. Like, to me, I was like, okay, now we got something. Maybe we're cooking. But then your defense allows the Kansas City Chiefs to come back on the field, march 13 plays, 75 yards on a clock-killing drive. I think they took up 6 minutes and 41 seconds of clock on that one drive, and that really put the game away. Like, their defense has got to be able to come up with some plays that can flip the momentum back in the Ravens' favor, and they weren't able to do enough of that last night. I'll also say this. Coming out of halftime, that Ravens' first drive, if Lamar Jackson hits that ball to Hollywood Brown or he hits the ball in the end zone to Mark Andrews, you could be talking about a different game too. Having to settle for that field goal right out of halftime, I thought that was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, you got to be almost perfect. I mean, you really do. I'm more surprised when Kansas City doesn't go down the field and score than I am when they.
Well, because they do more times than not.
Yeah, I mean it's surgical, man. What they're doing in the play between, you know, Pat Mahomes' talent. I mean, the one play where he's backpedaling to his left and he throws it 60 yards across the field to Hardman for the touchdown. Like, there's, I mean,
and he paid for that one too because Marlon Humphrey hit him.
He paid for that one.
He got hit and stared down the gun barrel and delivered a strike.
Yeah, there's only so many guys. I mean, there's only, what, 2 or 3 guys in the NFL that can do that.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson can do it. Level. I think Aaron Rodgers can do it. But, I mean, outside of that, I mean, that's just special. There's no defense for that.
Talk about quarterback play, huh? Look at what Rodgers, Wilson, and Mahomes have done so far this season.
Yeah, don't ruin it. I mean, we got CMT coming up. Don't start going off grid here.
I've ruined nothing. CMT 10:30, by the way. Mike Tenenbaum, 10 o'clock. By the way, Chris, you and I pathetic this week. Embarrassing.
I don't know why you brought it up, Dave. I don't know why you had to bring that up.
I think we have full transparency, no?
I don't understand why you went with the Ravens.
I don't know. I'll be honest with you, and clearly I was wrong. I thought they were better than Kansas City.
Yeah, but you've seen the first 3 weeks in the NFL. Like, which teams win? It's usually, for the most part, the team that has the best quarterback. And Kansas City, in every game, has the best quarterback. And, oh, by the way, they've had Baltimore.
I misjudged.
Number.
What do you want me to tell you?
Well, R.J. Bell trying to tell you, too. That's your guy.
Yeah, R.J. Bell also told me he loved the Giants plus 3.5.
Well, he's got one a week. He's got one a week.
My God.
He had to go Philly, too. He's got one a week.
So I go 0-3. Oh, 0-3. So I took the Giants plus 3.5. They lost by 1,000. New Orleans minus 3, they lose by 10. And Baltimore minus 3.5, they get crushed. I wasn't even close.
Best quarterback in the NFL, Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, or Nick Mullins?
Really?
After that's the way Mullins played on Sunday.
I still cannot believe you got embarrassed by that, that version of the Niners.
You're deflecting. You're so upset with your team, you're trying to take it out on me. I'm not going to have that.
No, both teams are terrible.
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 At least the Jets were tied at 7.
You ready for this? The New York Giants' offensive rankings this season.
Let me guess.
Okay, go. Total yards.
Got to be last.
Nope, second last, 31st.
The Jets are 32.
Running.
Okay, that has to be
dead last.
That's last. Dead passing. Last.
26th.
Yep, 26, 28. A little better. Not 26, Canty's right. Scoring.
31st.
Yep, second to last. And not to
thank God for the Jets, huh, Chris?
Jets offensive rankings, total yards 32nd, running the ball 28th, passing 31st, and scoring 32nd.
I mean, these are two putrid offenses, pathetic offenses.
Dude, the scariest part is, I mean, they're
the two worst teams in
the NFL.
In ESPN's power rankings?
Yeah, they're the two worst teams. But I mean, from those two teams to the third worst, I mean, there's some space in there.
Who's the third worst on their list?
Power rankings?
Yeah.
It would have to be. I mean, isn't it? Cincinnati's got to be down there.
But Cincinnati's. Cincinnati was an offensive pass interference away from winning game one, lost to Cleveland by 5, where the quarterback was great.
Cincinnati's 30th.
And watching Cincinnati, I've watched all three of their games. They're so far and away better than the Jets and the Giants right now.
Well, but that's the scary part. I mean, that's the scary part. I mean, the Giants lost to, and I get San Francisco. I mean, maybe that's the difference between, you know, a Super Bowl team and, you know, a team like the Jets or the Giants is that they can beat you with their backups. Like, that's the kind of depth you need to be a Super Bowl team. But, the gap between the Giants and the Jets and then the Cincinnati Bengals, it's substantial.
It might as well be the Grand Canyon.
It's really, really sad. It really is. It's pathetic. Local football.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the best
word. And
then we got to hear about every single Jets player coming out trying to defend Adam Gase and saying they don't understand what purpose it would serve to fire the head coach. You know why you got to fire the head coach? Because somebody has to be held accountable for this mess. It's absolutely ridiculous. If I'm an owner of one of these New York teams, like, this is just something that's completely unacceptable. Like, there is a standard, even for teams that are going through a rebuilding process. And both the Jets and the Giants are falling far short of that. Well, at least they did on Sunday. Now, the Giants, at least they were competitive in the first two games. But that mess that they put out there on Sunday, if you continue to see that throughout the course of this season, oh, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people that lose their job at the end of the year.
Yeah, but there are other teams that are rebuilding that look, I mean,
way
the off. Bengals are rebuilding. The Bengals are rebuilding.
They all
had
look
the first
better.
Overall pick.
The Jaguars are rebuilding and have gotten rid of everybody, and they look better.
Yeah.
I mean, these teams are non-competitive. These are by far the worst two teams in the NFL.
Yes.
I don't even think it's a question.
It's not.
I don't even think it's close at the moment.
No, it's not. It's like 31, 32, and then you can't even see 30 from where you are.
No.
It doesn't even feel like they're professional teams. Like, it doesn't feel like they're NFL teams. It feels like they should be playing in another league.
I told
you.
You
said the Giants said it yesterday. 12 and 39 in their last 51 games.
It's bad. I mean, it's worse than bad.
I mean, sweeping changes. Changes.
But Dave, to listen to some of the Jets players, and I get it, I mean, it does you no good to come out and criticize your head coach. I mean, we saw how that worked out for Bradley McDougal. but, I mean, it's almost like they're brainwashed. Like, I get, like, usually, like, you know, what the coach says inside that locker room is kind of, you hear it regurgitated by the players. But if we execute, there's plays to be had. If we execute, I mean, and Kay was saying this yesterday. So what do you say? So you guys are just bad then? It has nothing to do with the coaching. You're just, he's putting you in the right spot.
But they are. I mean, that is true. They are really bad.
But I almost really kind of feel bad for the players, though. Because you're right, Rick. I listened to the Sam Darnold interview yesterday, and I actually felt bad for him that he's got to come on there and do that interview every single week, knowing how bad this team is. Because there are questions, quite frankly, that he shouldn't have to answer. They should be questions that the head coach answers. But Adam Gase has shown he has no answers. And when he speaks about it publicly, he always throws his players under the bus. Not once do we hear Adam Gase take any accountability for what we've seen this year. Not once. Every time people ask him about the play calling, the game management, it's always, well, we had a good play on, the guys just didn't execute. Well, yeah, man, well, I hear what you're saying. You draw up every play to be successful, but sometimes there are some play calls that would have been better than others. And clearly, with your team being non-competitive, you're not putting them in the best positions to have success.
Yeah, but Chris, at what point, like how many weeks does it take for you to realize, you know what, these plays that I'm drawing up, you know, maybe because we lack talent, they're not capable of doing these things. So we got to, you know, we have to, something has to change. You can't just go every week getting blown out and saying, you know what, it was the right play call. I wouldn't change a thing if only these guys could execute. Well, clearly they can't execute. So maybe put them in spots where if you have to dummy it down, whatever you have to do to adapt to the lack of talent that you have to at least put a team that looks like an NFL team on the field. It's all
that's what happened, Rico. That's what happens when you hire a guy that always thinks he's the smartest one in the room. And his tenure with the Jets is starting to mirror the one that he had with Miami. His first year in Miami was his best year. They went to the playoffs. They were a wild card team and got smoked in Pittsburgh. Ever since that, he's never come close to getting a team to that point. I mean, yeah, this is a guy that's going to do it his way, and if it doesn't work his way, then it's not his fault. There's a problem with that.
Well, it sounds like it's the guy
wasn't out of a job long enough to learn the lessons and learn where he went wrong down in Miami because Chris Johnson was in a hurry to give him a job. So we always have this question of, well, you know, if you hire a coach that was fired in that same cycle, are they truly going to improve? Are they going to be able to process and digest the mistakes that they made in their previous job and be able to take those lessons and apply them to the new job? We're getting the answer to that question in real time, guys. The answer is no.
I think we understand. Like, I mean, if, you know, I don't care what level you coach at. I mean, there are certain things you'd like to do as a coach. Like, the whole job of a coach is to, you know, be innovative. Come up with all the, I mean, what you saw last night with Kansas City. I mean, the play design from Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, it's otherworldly. Because guess what? They have the best quarterback in the league. And, I mean, they have every option available. Running back. Why? I mean, you name it. Tight end. Even fullback. Left tackle apparently can catch too. Like they have all these different, you know, no, but seriously, like we'd all like to drop those kind of plays, but that's not the reality for every team. You come up with plays and a game plan that best suits the talent that you have on your team. And if you got a quarterback that looks like he's in the weeds and he's drowning and he's struggling, that has, you know, Braxton Berrios and Chris Hogan as his two best options, you know what? Maybe. We need to, you know, find some plays that these guys are capable of executing. I can't stand going into every press conference and hearing, well, they just didn't execute. Well, maybe they can't execute the plays that you're drawing up then.
Well, clearly they can't.
Okay, well, it's been 3 weeks. Like, how many times do you need to bang your head against the wall before you say, you know what, something has to change? And if he's not willing to change, then he's got to be relieved of his job.
Even Drago could change.
Well, because you can't get rid of your players. You can't. It's painful.
Well played, Dave.
Thanks. It's terrible. Let's go to the phones. 800-919-3776. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance and all guests on DCR appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Let's start out with our buddy, a man who was defeated last week. We'll see how he feels after and hopefully an easy fast, Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira.
Good morning, Dave, and hopefully you had an easy fast too. Good morning,
I hate fasting. I hate it.
Yeah.
Let me put my surprise face on.
It's not easy to not eat all day. And then last night I stuffed myself to the point that I thought I was going to get sick. It's awful. I had to lie down after.
No, I know.
It's not healthy for you, Dave. You got to periodically graze.
I couldn't do it. Once they open up the buffet at 7 o'clock, it's like I go crazy. I had 4 bagels. 4
at 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah. By 7:30, I was like, I got to go lie down. We were like 50-50 whether I was going to throw up or not last night. It was really.
Well, you tried. I mean, you committed carbicide. You're lucky you didn't go into a coma.
I felt terrible. The kids had to check on me. They came. They're like, Dad, are you okay? It's like, no, not really. I feel awful. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's all right. 4 bagels, that's a bit. But listen, you know what's funny? I was watching Mahomes last night, and it's not that funny, it's sad. Christian Hackenberg, of course, is probably Mahomes or Watson, because if they didn't pick Hackenberg in 16, maybe Jamal Adams wouldn't have been drafted, and maybe would have picked one of the quarterbacks. And you know what? Luckily for Mahomes, because he wouldn't be the quarterback he is in New York, because he's in the system he is with Kansas City and the talent he has. He wouldn't be as good as he is. But, you know, getting to Sunday, I haven't spoken to you guys. You know what? It's just, this is going to go on and on. Listen, his fate is sealed. You know, whether, you know, if I think they'll win Thursday, but if they lose to the Broncos, I think he's going to be let go Friday. If not, maybe they'll come with a bye week. You know, the good thing is, hopefully Douglas is going to get an early start on making a search for head coaching, talking to people, you know, touching base with people. Hopefully what's going to happen here is that Chris Johnson finally lets the general manager hire a coach, and they have the pecking order, which we've spoken about numerous times, because, like I said, until that gets done, this organization, it's just not going to be successful. And you're talking about a rebuild. I mean, once again, Douglas knew what he was putting on paper. You know, Crowder got hurt, Vince got hurt, I get all of that. But the bottom line is, he couldn't ever believe that this team was going to be a competitive football team with what he has on his roster. And I still believe, in his mind, you know, give him truth serum in a closed door and talk to him, all right? I think this year he pretty much said, you know what, I'm not married to this quarterback. And even though Adam Gase is my friend, I'm not married to this head coach. I saw something last year that I didn't like. And I think he had no problem going tanking this year. And you're not planning to lose, but going out there, having the worst record. And if he ends up getting the number one pick, he gets to restart. We've talked about it. And I think that's a smart play. Sam's caught up in a really bad cycle right now. And you know what? He has the ability. He's still prone to mistakes. But I think with the proper coaching and the proper team, I think he could get his career back on track.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Ira, though. But here's the thing, and this is what I don't like, is that even if Joe Douglas wasn't sold on Sam Darnold, at least put enough around him to have a definitive answer after the season is over.
Yes,
either he's your quarterback,
right,
or he's not.
I totally agree with you, but I,
because now you leave it open to, you know, God forbid he goes to another team and they unlock him. It's the same reason why the Yankees keep putting Gary Sanchez out there, because their biggest fear is they get rid of him and all of a sudden he goes somewhere else and turns into the player they all believe he can be.
And God forbid he goes to another team and he's good and the guy that you take is not. Then forget it.
Oh, please, you don't want that. But I think Douglas, he got the offensive line. Hopefully Beckham's going to play Thursday night. And I think in his time frame, he wanted to get that line straight. You know, he had doubts about Sam. Maybe he didn't. But evidently he's going to have it at the end of this year if he doesn't change. And he's going to end up with either the first or second pick, and he's going to take a quarterback, and he's going to move on from Sam. And you know what? I hope for Sam he turns out to be like another Rich Gannon, where he goes somewhere and he gets his career started. He's a good kid. He's young. He's 23 years old. I just don't see it happening.
Or you could just do what, just do what Ryan Tannehill did. Is, you know, get away from Adam Gase and all of a sudden turn into a franchise quarterback.
Thanks, Cole. Yeah, we appreciate it.
That's probably going to happen with Sam. I mean,
it seems like everyone that leaves Adam Gase turns into a really good player.
Yeah, Kenyon Drake, and yeah, you name him.
Look at Devontae Parker now.
Yeah.
The guy's on one leg. Devontae Parker on one leg in Miami would be the best offensive player on the New York Jets.
It wouldn't be close.
And it wouldn't even be close. It wouldn't be close. Again, that for me, to sum it all up, for a Jets fan, is your biggest fear. Is that because the GM isn't tied to the quarterback, you go through this entire season with, you know, all these injuries, and you don't get a real idea of if Sam can play or not, because we know how much talent he has. You saw that with that touchdown pass to Berrios, like what he's capable of doing. And then all of a sudden, because you have the first or second pick, you draft the quarterback, Sam moves on, and he gets put in a great spot with... Could you imagine if he ends up in
San Francisco or
Pittsburgh? I mean, you name one of these places.
Yep.
And here's why, Dave. This is why I actually, and the jury's still out with Joe Judge, but I like the idea of hiring a coach that's more of a CEO, because even if you start to struggle, right, and the fan base wants a pound of flesh, when you're the CEO type and you're the head coach, offense doesn't look good, guess what? We can replace the offensive coordinator. Defense doesn't look good, we can replace the defensive coordinator. When your head coach is the one calling the plays and the offense is trash, you're left with no option. You have to fire him. And now it's a whole new regime.
Yeah. Well, that's what you're going to get. I mean, you have no doubt he's going to be back next season. He can't be.
Yeah, but how can you have continuity like that? You can't.
You don't.
Like, unless it's, you know, one of these guys like, you know, Kyle Shanahan or Andy Reid, one of these guys who's that good at what they do, you can have the continuity. But there's only so many guys like that.
Yeah, there's a handful. And clearly Adam Gase is not one of them.
But that's
guys.
Exactly what Chris Johnson wanted. That's what he thought he was signing up for.
Well, he might have thought that's what he was getting, but that's not what he got. He got sold a bill of goods, which is just not true.
No, he got the Canal Street version of Kyle Shanahan.
That's right. The guy selling it at the corner.
Yeah, then all of a sudden you get locked into
it's Gucci.
No, then you get locked in. All of a sudden you just locked in this room and you're like, what the hell's going on? No, just wait, and they finally let you out. It's happened a couple times.
Like Prince hypnotizing with his eyes.
3776. Chris, we ignore it, we move on, right?
Yeah, that's what you have to do.
That's the game plan. We ignore and we move on. Like they said in the promo, Yankees Indians tonight following the Case Show, 7 o'clock right here on 98.7 ESPN. You know what the funniest thing about that promo is for me, Rick and Chris? It's Gerrit Cole and Luke Voit look to power the Yankees past the Indians. If I would have told you 2 months ago that Luke Voit would be the guy you would hope would power the Yankees over anybody, you would have laughed. And he had a sensational season for this club.
Yeah, he was one of their most consistent offensive weapons.
I know. But the fact that he's the guy in the promo, you got Judge, you got Stanton, you got Torres, you got Sanchez, you got LeMahieu, and it's Luke Voit and the Yankees. It's just, I don't know, it's kind of funny. So
they probably could have, let's be honest, they probably could have, it could have been Cole and LeMahieu, in all honesty.
Yeah, it could have been.
So you're saying Brownsher didn't do great?
No, he did fine. I mean, listen, both of them had great seasons. I mean, LeMahieu won the batting title, and Voit hit the most home runs in Major League Baseball.
22
in 56 games. Yeah,
all gimped up, too. With a bad foot.
Yeah. He barely run.
Yeah, he battled through.
You don't need to run if the ball goes out of the ballpark.
Yeah, which he did 22 times. Astros, Twins. So 10:50 a.m. is your home for Major League Baseball as well over this this crazy span of a million games over a couple days. Astros, Twins, 2 o'clock. White Sox, A's, 3 o'clock. Blue Jays, Rays, 5 o'clock. So they go from a Stanley Cup last night to game one of the playoffs for baseball for the Rays. That's some sports city now, huh?
It's a sports state. I mean, Miami, the Heat are in the NBA Finals. The Marlins made the playoffs. The Rays are the number one seed in the American League. The Lightning just won the Stanley Cup.
The U looks like it's back.
I mean, what are we talking about right now?
Yeah.
It's not fair.
Oh, it's not fair. It's like watching some of the stuff, too. At one point during that game last night, they showed Amalie Arena where Tampa plays. In the group of people all piled up together with no masks. It's like a different country.
They're fully open now, Florida. They're open for business.
I got off the phone with someone yesterday. They were having a baby shower. Then right from the baby shower to the wedding. I'm like, what is
no
I don't understand it.
No,
I'm not allowed to go golfing.
Because I don't know if you
let me go golfing.
The pandemic actually is not taking place in Florida.
It's unbelievable, man.
So they do what they want. And have you seen the numbers, by the way?
Yeah, someone told me, by the way, that we asked them, you're wearing a mask? Oh, I bring the mask.
And we said,
what do you mean you bring the mask? Do they let you in stores? But they asked, do you have the mask? I say yes and show them, and then they just let me in.
That's wonderful. Do you wear the mask? I bring the mask. Do they make you put it on? I show them I have the mask, and that's good enough. And that's why whenever you do observations, it's did this happen in
exactly.
Florida?
Correct.
Because more times than not, it did.
Yes. Most of the time. And Florida has spread throughout the entire country.
Yeah. It really is a treat.
Made its way up the coast.
Let's go to Matt in Norwalk. Matt, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. I'm a recent convert to the ESPN New York. Loving you guys' show in the morning. It's fantastic.
Appreciate it.
Doing that. So I've been a little pretext. I've been a Jets fan I'm 51 years old almost, and I've been a fan probably since before I can remember. Like my first game was against the St. Louis Cardinals in Chase Stadium, if that tells you anything. And just like everyone else, I'm sure you're getting all the calls, waiting for the right owner, waiting for the right coach, waiting for the right quarterback. And finally, they broke me week two against San Francisco. That was, they're playing literally a team who's hobbling on the field. And I said, this is it, I'm out. This was the game that finally pushed me. Not the bus fumble.
You're not out.
I'm out.
Stop it. You didn't watch the Colts game on Sunday?
I did. I took him actually because I had a knockout pool and I took Indianapolis. So that was
that's so disrespectful.
But you're watching the Jets still.
I watched it in the pick six. I went to get a beer, and I came
Which
back,
one?
And it was 7-0. The first
one. Now who's the bad guy, okay. Canty? Now who's the bad guy?
And then
I know what he means, though, Dave. When we say we're out, it doesn't mean we're not watching. We're just not we're not allowing the product on the field to have the emotional effect that it usually has on us.
Oh, I understand that. I'm right there with you, Matt. I'm out, too.
I had deja vu last week because I went to get a beer in the first quarter last week, too, and they were down 7-0 in San Francisco.
Hey, Matt, why do you get a beer before they kick the game off?
It's not my first, usually.
Yeah, you should have six beers before the game kicks off.
Why do you have a line
like
of beer in front of you so you don't need to keep getting up?
Yeah, put on one of those helmets with the two beers and the straw you
own. Well, this was a 4 o'clock game. Last week, I had no excuse. It was a 1 o'clock game, but still. But my question is this. I know Gase has got a foot out the door, and Johnson is owner in name only at this point. I mean, he's pretty much a lame duck owner. What does the GM do in the firm? If you're Douglas and you got a 6-year contract, first of all, you have to assume you've got some degree of power in this whole thing. But what do you do at game 3 when you're talking about your coach out the door, your quarterback who, for lack of a better word, is broken? I think it's safe to say that they've broken this kid. I was never really high on Darnold, but he's obviously not anywhere near what they drafted 3 years ago.
Here's what I'll say. What I think Joe Douglas has to do is he has to come to a decision one way or another. Will this team continue to play for Adam Gase, or have they quit on the coach? Because if they quit on their coach and I keep Adam Gase, I'm not going to really get a good idea of what I have on this team, because they're not playing to, you know, up to their capabilities. And now if I fire him and have, you know, Greg Williams come on as the interim head coach, will he get these guys to play hard? So at least by the end of the season, I'll have an idea of who will be on this team moving forward.
At this point, I would almost say, you know, it's every year it's the same thing, right? They start out horrible. They kind of have like a little, it's just Jets football.
But when it's meaningless. When it's meaningless. Yeah, when the season is already over. It's like the Mets.
Yeah.
Dig yourself a hole, and then when it doesn't matter, all of a sudden you turn it on.
But they're never bad enough that they get the number one pick, and they're never so good that they're the 32nd pick. They're like somewhere in the middle, and they got to trade somebody up to get to Darnold like they did with Sanchez. Do you just at this point say, if you're Douglas, we're going to just trash everything,
I don't think he has to say he's going to trash everything.
I don't think it's hard to lose a lot of games this year. This is a, and thanks for the call, Matt, this is a bad football team. If you had a good coach, guys, this is a bad football team.
Yeah, but you don't have a good coach, Adam Gase. So at some point, you're going to make the decision to move on from him during the regular season. And at that spot, that's when Greg Williams will become your interim coach. You probably relieve Dow Loggins of his responsibilities on offense. You elevate Jim Bob Cooter to the coordinator, because let's face it, things on offense can't be worse.
Outside of Adam Gase, the offensive coaches sound like a country band.
Yeah, they do. They do kind of, yeah. Yeah,
I got Dowell Loggins and Dowell Jim
Loggins
Bob Cooter.
And Jim Bob Cooter.
Which one plays the banjo?
Yeah, but I mean that's what you end up having to do. Like Rick is absolutely right. You got to get an evaluation on all of these players, including Sam Darnold. You got to know what you have as a general manager, and if the effort level is not up to par, then how are you going to accurately gauge what these guys are capable of doing? You can't. So at some point, your team has to be competitive, and firing the head coach, people want to know what that accomplishes. That could be the spark to get everybody to play a little bit harder, and if you're getting better effort, then you're going to be able to see what these guys are capable of doing. Like if the
that
guys
trickles
are not
downhill,
good,
though,
if,
Chris. You know that. That trickles downhill. Like, I mean,
that sends a message to the players, man.
Exactly.
If you're in that locker room and the head coach get fired, you know what your mentality is? Your mentality is, oh, they just got rid of the head coach. It could be me next.
Yep.
Everybody is auditioning, so you're going to get everybody's best. Kind of like when you see a new head coach come into a team, you usually see all the players on their best behavior. That's what happens when you fire a head coach in the middle of the season. And so those guys know, you know what? My job security is based on how I go out here and play, putting out good tape. So you're going to get effort. And it's at that point where Joe Douglas can kind of see what he's got. But I stand by what I said earlier this week and what I said last week. If the Jets end up with a top two pick, they're going to take a quarterback. They're going to take a quarterback. Like, I don't think the general manager has much choice. They're going to take a quarterback just because Sam Darnold is not Joe Douglas's guy.
And it resets the money, too. I mean, that would be the benefit.
And it resets the money. It makes sense in terms of your timeline.
I wonder what you would trade Darnold for. A two?
Probably a mid-round pick.
Well,
no,
it depends on what the rest of the season looks like.
You're probably going to get a 3 or 4.
Oh, God.
That's probably what you're going to get.
It's awful. That's just awful.
All right.
What did Arizona get for Josh Rosen? A two? They got a late two? I think it was a late two. So, yeah, that's what you're talking about.
Looks pretty good, huh?
It looks pretty good. Yeah, what is he on his third team now?
Mm-hmm.
He's on Tampa's practice squad.
Practice squad, yeah.
I'm telling you, man, I hear all these things, too, about, you know, if you're a third overall pick in Sam Darnold, you should be able to, you should be able to play through bad coaching.
It's yeah,
one
rise,
thing to play
rise,
through.
Right, right.
No, but it's one thing to if you're uber talented, right, and you actually have talent around you, you can make chicken salad, right? Like you can play well in spite of your coaching, but when you have bad coaching and no talent around you, it's impossible.
Yeah, and that's what he has. He has bad coaching and they have no talent. None.
But listen, whether it's his fault or not, I mean, they're probably going to move off him.
Oh,
anyway.
I agree with you.
No, he'll pay the price.
They're going to move off. I mean, like, if you're a general manager, how could you justify passing on Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence and betting on Sam Darnold? You just can't.
I wonder if the Giants.
I mean, beyond the money part of it, just like, just in terms of the overall evaluation, like, I'm going to pass on two guys that could be generational talents, and I'm going to roll with Sam based on what I've seen in the first 3 years of his career. Can't do that.
Well, the fear too is, and this is, you don't know this, is what kind of damage, like irreparable damage this has done to Sam mentally. Because that's the biggest part of it. I mean, when you're this bad and your team is this bad, you start to question, I mean, how good you are. And that does damage, man. That messes you up.
It's bad. I mean, it's really bad. Today on ESPN Daily, after one of the strangest MLB seasons in history, the postseason is finally here. Jeff Passan joins the show to preview baseball's playoffs on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. And again, Yankees right here, 7 o'clock tonight on 98.7 ESPN, right after the Michael Kay Show. You can watch that game on ESPN television as well. And then they're back at it tomorrow night at 7 o'clock for Game 2. And because the Yankees are here on 98.7 ESPN tomorrow, Game 1 of the NBA Finals will be on 10:50 a.m. So this is we said this was going to be a wild, crazy sports time. It is a wild, crazy sports time. Speaking of wild and crazy, Andy from Merrick, you're next up on 98.7. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR.
What happened there?
I didn't hear the little dings that Ray punched me in. Oh, my goodness. It's a tough day, Dave.
That's the remix, Andy. Shake it off.
Okay. Well, tomorrow, gentlemen, starts the NBA Finals. Of course, I'll be watching on the ESPN app. It's all about LeBron James starting tomorrow, so let's give you four LeBron James questions, starting with, how many scoring titles has LeBron won in his career?
LeBron James scoring titles.
Let me see here. Scoring titles. Just one, right?
No.
Just one is really. Correct.
Yeah, just one.
Was that in 08?
07, 08 season.
Okay.
The 2,000 point mark in the season is a benchmark for greatness. LeBron has done it 10 times. Name the two players that have done it more than 10 times.
This is in one season?
2,000 points in a season. More than 10 times.
I mean, Michael, no, has to be.
Michael did it 11 times.
Kareem? Did Kareem do it?
No, Kareem only did it 9.
Okay.
Wilt?
Nope.
Is it the mailman?
It is the mailman. 99 nice. Coming through.
Not 3.
LeBron, of course, has won 4 MVP awards, tied with Wilt Chamberlain. Can you name the 3 players with more than 4 MVP awards?
Russell.
1.
Kareem.
2.
You said Jordan?
3. Bang.
Oh, okay.
Are you a smart guy?
And finally, boys, LeBron is one of 3 players to win multiple MVP awards by the age of 25. Name the other 2.
You know, I spoil a lot of people with my play.
Antetokounmpo.
That's 1.
25. How many are there?
1 more.
Did Magic win it?
Not multiples by 25.
Okay.
Multiple MVPs by
Jordan?
No.
No, Jordan took a minute.
Kareem then.
Lou Alcindor is correct. Took you a little while, but you got that, boys. Stay healthy as always.
All right, thank you, Andy.
That's pretty good.
Doing good job as always. Even Andy had a hiccup, though. I mean, nothing is going smoothly these days.
No, yeah, we feed off Andy's energy when he comes in like that.
Yeah. What was it? Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Speaking of hiccups, did you guys pay attention to the Bills-Rams game? Because I didn't watch it, admittedly. I'm sitting here watching the highlights on Get Up of how Aaron Donald is ragdolling Brian Winters.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just trying to think about what he's going to do to the Giants offensive line this weekend in L.A.
He's going
to
crush them. Did you see what Nick Gates said? He said he looks forward to playing Aaron Donald.
Yeah, that ain't really how he feels, though, Dave. Come on now. That ain't really. He can't feel that way.
No, he's probably terrible.
Or if he does, that's going to change when he turns on the tape today.
Tell you what, I'm not excited about that matchup. I'll tell you that.
I fear for Daniel Jones' safety.
That's like saying I can't wait for my prostate exam.
You are too much.
No one's looking forward to that.
No. Did you see what forget what he did to Gates. Did you see what he did to the Dallas Cowboys? He picked up Zeke and threw him into the quarterback. Guy's a monster.
He's unbelievable.
Think about that, though, Rico. He picks up a grown man and throws him into another grown man.
A big guy. He didn't pick up Tariq Cohen and throw him. Zeke's a big guy.
I'm going to pick up a grown man against his will and throw him into another guy to knock him down.
He can do anything. He really is sensational.
I'm going to use this
human
being as a
weapon. He's the best defensive player in football.
Oh.
Is there any argument? He's the best defensive player in football.
He's a sensational player.
Like, he's as good at his job as Pat Mahomes is at playing quarterback.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He dominates. He's great. It's just that the quarterback position is more important.
I probably took Leonard Williams in the mix.
Who? Who'd you say?
He said Leonard Williams.
Leonard Williams playing well.
He is playing well.
For $16 million, he better be playing well.
Listen, I don't need it from you. I really don't. It's hard enough to watch this. Now I got to have you make fun of me.
What's going to happen against the Rams?
They're going to get crushed. They're going to lose 34-12.
Rams going home. Giants traveling all the way across the country. You got the most, the best.
Are you saying what's going to happen? They just got humiliated at home by San Francisco. It's not going to be worse than that.
No, I don't.
The Rams are going to hang 40 on the Giants, at least. It could look like when the Rams came to MetLife a couple of years ago. You remember that, Dave?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
I think they scored like 50-something points. Yeah, yeah.
Terrible.
The Rams are going to hang at least 40 on the Giants. At least.
0-4, then they play the Cowboys. We 0-5. I mean, this thing is going to spiral. It's not good. All right.
I can see the headline, too. Two TDs, one cup. I can see it.
Great. All right, Mike Tenenbaum. We ignore, we move on, Chris. That's what we do. And let's bring him in. One of our favorites, Mike Tenenbaum. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
We are doing better than New York football is doing, I'll tell you that. It's awful.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah.
It really is.
I know San Francisco has a 2-game lead over the other two teams that are the tenants at MetLife in terms of wins.
It's pathetic. It really is. All right, let me start with the Giants, because I know Rick's going to ask you about the Jets, and they're both so negative, and maybe we'll ask you about the game from last night just to end on a positive note. But, I mean, Giants, big picture. And you said this was going to be a struggle of a season. But, Mike, they're 0-3 already. You look at the schedule. It's hard to envision more than, I don't know, 3, maybe 4 wins right now. It's like, it's awful. The offensive line, they've been working on it for years. It looks as bad as it ever has. Barkley's now out. Jones doesn't look much better than he's looked. The defense, I guess, is a little bit better, but still not good. It's like the state of the Giants, Mike, it's really bad, and this has been going on forever. Is there anything positive that you can tell me, tell the Giants fans, week 3 now in the books for the season?
You know, Dave, just preparing and looking at the game and knowing we were going to discuss it, you know, one of the things that really, and we've talked about this, guys, for 6 months, is the whole notion of continuity. And I know Nick Mullins is a backup, but, I mean, the reality is this. Nick Mullins had experience in the system with Kyle Shanahan, and Daniel Jones is now 3 weeks into playing with Jason Garrett. And I know that seems odd to think that the backup quarterback had the advantage, but, again, you know, continuity matters this year, and I think we're seeing that across the league. And I think for the Giants, if they could concentrate on anything, it's really third down on both sides of the ball, because right now, their lack of playmakers on both sides is really showing up. So offensive line clearly is a concern because it's hard to get a good evaluation on Daniel Jones right now. They drafted a couple other young guys. I'd love to see them play at some point. You know, Lemieux, Pert. You know, I think by the end of the year, from a Giant perspective, they need to know what they have with those two draft choices.
I think Mr. Mario T, Lemieux could play on this team.
There you go. There you go.
Go see.
Mr. T, I mean, the Giants look competitive in the first two games. There were miscues, and you talked about situational football, third down on both sides of the ball. Also, sudden change has been a real problem for the Giants' defense. But in looking at this game on Sunday, they weren't competitive. So I got to ask you, do you think the Giants are more of what we saw the first two games, or are they more of what we saw on Sunday?
Yeah, and we talked about this on Sunday, Chris. I felt like Joe Judge, his imprint were on those first two games in terms of, you know, guys flying to the ball, playing with toughness, competitiveness. And I was surprised, like, to sit here and say that, you know, here's a team that lost by four touchdowns to a team that was missing, I believe it was nine starters and nine consequential starters. I didn't see that coming. Like you, I thought it was going to be more competitive. I think it starts up front, again, on both sides of the ball. So, I think defensively, again, like, I just don't know how to get off the ball. I mean, off the field on third down. That to me, mm-hmm. is where you got to start. And we got to, like, if we're the Giants, we got to hang our head on something. You know, by the end of the year, we got to be better. You know, right now, with 20th in the league on giving up, you know, third downs, any meaningful statistic is not good. So, to me, I don't know if it becomes more pressure to manufacture a pass rush, but they have to develop something because right now, teams can really run the ball and they can throw it, and until they have enough speed on their back end, it's just going to be hard to get off the field. And when you can't do that, it extends drives. And we saw that last night, obviously, with Patrick Mahomes, but that would be my biggest concern for the Giants is we got to fix up front, see what we have in those draft choices, and then on the back end, we have to get faster so we can get off the field on third down.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, before I get into the Jets, because I would rather not, but clearly we have to do it. You mentioned Daniel Jones and getting a proper evaluation. I mean, how much does it concern you, though, with the turnovers? I mean, that's 2+ turnovers in 10 of his 16 games.
Yeah, big concern. That has to get better. You know, that was a problem, like, you know, when I saw it do, I thought he was a little inaccurate, but I thought because of his basketball background and his ability as a foot athlete to move in the pocket, climb the pocket, I thought that would get better. And again, like, if we were in normal times, guys, they wouldn't even be in the regular season yet with Jason Garrett. What I mean by that is with a young player and a new offensive coordinator and a new head coach, he's probably playing some of all four preseason games. So hopefully in a month from now, these things are getting better. Maybe it's down to one turnover game. But, you know, he played really well. Like that Pittsburgh game, you know, they were there. You know, against Chicago, guy came down to the last possession. So I think there are some flashes of what they'd like to see, but Rick, your point is well taken. Those self-inflicted wounds can be catastrophic. I lived it in New York with Mark Sanchez where his good was really good and we were able to get to the playoffs. But at the end of the day, too many turnovers, you just can't win from a sustainability standpoint.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Mike, you said it on our show on Get Up as well, that if the Jets wind up with the number one pick, that you have no doubt that they would go with Trevor Lawrence and that would be the thing to do. I hate to ask you this question, but I think I have to. How about if the Giants wind up with the number one pick? Would you realistically consider Trevor Lawrence and moving on from Daniel Jones?
I think you have to for the same reasons, Dave, which is we're saying, like, if we go back over the last 3 years, Kyle Murray, Joe Burrow, and Baker Mayfield, I think there's an argument to be made that he's the best of those players, all first picks, all quarterbacks. If that's the case, if you're trying to build a franchise, Dave, for the next 10 years, I don't know how you pass on Trevor Lawrence. You know, unless you have, you know, one of the top three quarterbacks right now, that's how good Trevor Lawrence could be. And candidly, I can't wait to see Justin Fields. He may not be far behind. And he had an incredible year last year. So they have to do what's best. You know, Joe Judge, every time I hear him and listen to him, I hear a young Bill Belichick. And look, Bill Belichick had growing pains in Cleveland. You know, they had some success there. I was there for a season with them. And I don't think we can compare Joe Judge of a 10-year coach. And I think through the lens, if I was running the Giants, the lens of those decisions should be made with what's best for us for the next 10 years.
Mr. T, what's the Giants' plan at general manager? I mean, Dave Gettleman will be 70 years old by the time the scouting combine rolls around. I mean, his job performance hasn't been great. This team has had issues. He's touted himself as somebody that was going to fix the offensive line. That clearly hasn't happened. I mean, are the Giants going to address that position at some point this year?
Yeah, well, again, I think, you know, we'll know a lot more about them, Chris, in the coming weeks. I agree because, you know, I know Dave well, and he does philosophically say, hey, you know, I'm going to start up front. And, you know, through almost a quarter of the season, they're 21st in the league in sacks per attempt, which is a very meaningful statistic in terms of giving your passing offense a chance. So I think it's a wait-and-be-seen situation. And ideally, you know, Dave, Daniel Jones, and Joe Judge were there for a long time. In terms of age, you know, if he's healthy and can still do the job, then, you know, you hope age doesn't become a factor. And but I'm sure the Giants would have a plan if that day ever came. But, again, it's we'll know a lot more about where they are in the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Well, I guess I asked that question because he's had some health issues in the past, and he hasn't really done the job because the team has been the worst in football the last 3 years. I guess I just look at it, and it seems like he leaves a lot to be desired in terms of job performance, productivity, and building a plan for long-term success and sustainability.
But Chris, I would say the biggest two responsibilities a GM has is the head coach and the quarterback. And if Joe Judge and Daniel Jones start performing better, and again, I think Joe Judge has a chance to be a good quarterback, good head coach. I said that from day one. I just think it's going to take some time. So I think ultimately that's how you have to evaluate Dave's performance.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here in the show. Mike, I'm going to do it. I have to. It's in my contract. I have to talk about the Jets, so I'm going to ask you about the Jets. if you're Joe Douglas, I mean, put yourself back in his seat as the general manager of the New York Jets. How hard is your job? Like, how hard is it for you to actually evaluate what you have on this team when this team has been just been non-competitive over the first 3 weeks?
Yeah, you know, Rick, when you have the privilege of one of these jobs, it's always hard, and it's going to be a challenge, and you need to have that mindset. And, you know, I've been thinking about this, too. Like, I know a lot of people are calling for Adam Gase's job, and understandably why, but I would just say, again, if you believe in Sam Darnold and traded up for him and this is your guy, I just don't know is having, you know, your fourth sort of people around him in 5 years, is that the best thing? You're going from USC to Todd Bowles to Adam Gase and Dow Loggins now to somebody else to have, you know, four different systems. Like, is that going to give him the best chance? You know, we're looking at guys like Patrick Mahomes. He's with Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid every single day. He was with Cliff Kingsbury. And I'm not saying that's the only reason we're seeing a difference, but, you know, Josh Allen has had continuity with Brian Daboll, the Bills offensive coordinator, and Sean McDermott. So, again, I'm not defending the Jets' performance. Don't get me wrong. It's not acceptable. But if you're Joe Douglas and I'm saying what's best for Sam Darnold, that has to be part of the decision.
Yeah, but Mike, I know you like Adam Gase. Here's my only concern, though, is, and this is not to slight Adam Gase, but there are some coaches that are better suited to be offensive coordinators than head coaches. That's the feeling I get from Adam Gase, is that if he was just an offensive coordinator, I think he would be fine. But the fact that he's the offensive coordinator trying to be the head coach is where I struggle a bit. I don't know if he's capable of being the head coach of this team. He could be a good offensive coordinator. I don't know. I mean, I can tell you right now, I don't think he's very good just because of the results. But as far as head coach is concerned, I mean, that's actually why I think Joe Judge has the chance to be successful, is because he's more of a CEO type than the guy who's in charge of calling the plays and being the head coach.
You know, Rick, that's a fair point. And I think there's something to be said for when you look at the background of Joe Judge as a special teams coach and you look at John Harbaugh, who, without question, one of our best coaches. You know, we had a similar situation. This is going back a number of years, but at the Jets, we hired Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards was not the defensive coordinator. He was the assistant head coach / DB coach. Herm came in 5 years, went to the playoffs 3 times, was successful in Kansas City, obviously doing a great job at Arizona State. So there is something to be said for that. Now, with that said, like, I've seen Adam with Vance Joseph, and we went to the playoffs in Miami in that arrangement, and Vance went on to become a head coach. And Greg Williams has been a multiple-time head coach, so I'm just saying, like, it hasn't been perfect. I'm not saying that it has been, but if you brought Adam Gase in to fix and develop Sam Darnold, Greg Williams is as good of a pick as you can have from a standpoint as you can delegate that side of the ball to him. Now, would things look different if Crowder and Bell were healthy? I don't know, but if you were looking to give him the benefit of the doubt, that's where that conversation would begin.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. All right, I got to move off the locals. It's just it's too depressing. We'll talk about the game from last night. And the Kansas City is just they're on another level, right? Like I didn't expect that last night. That surprised me, and clearly in my mind after watching that game, they're on a different level than everybody in the NFL. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and when I was looking at the game, Dave, and the matchups, I thought in particular when you look at Baltimore in the back end of Marcus Peters, Jimmy Smith. And a really, really good player in Marlon Humphrey. He's one of the best corners in the league. I thought, wow, if you could scheme up pressure, which Don Martindale can do, and you can play man-to-man on the back end, now you have a chance. And boy, was I wrong, because Mahomes, the thing about Mahomes that I don't think he gets enough credit is how quickly he could process information, because that ball, like, you're sitting there, and I work with Rex for years, and you've heard him say it on Get Up, which is like, if I'm going to play these guys, I'm going to go down swinging. And that was clearly what Martindale was going to do, but he knew where to go with the ball before the rush could get there. And when you have literally no chance, because if you sit there and you play some sort of two deep zone, he'll just pick you apart, go up and down the field. And so the two things that really stood out to me last night was one, how quickly he processed information and got the ball out. And then the other thing, and Chris, you know this as a defensive player, what breaks your heart is when they're playing man to man and those defenders have their back to the line of scrimmage.
And he scrambles for a first down, and he scrambles for a first down. Damn it, it gets on my nerves.
That's exactly right. And what happens is that breaks your back, because now you're like, if I blitz, we can't get home. If we play man-to-man, he's going to scramble. And if we play zone, we have no chance. So he is, I think it's him and then draw a line. I don't know who else is in that conversation. Maybe Russell Wilson, maybe Aaron Rodgers, but just from a team standpoint, and then you throw in a fullback shovel pass and a tackle eligible play, it's like it's almost not fair.
Mr. T, I want to ask you about the team on the other side of that matchup, the Baltimore Ravens. The Chiefs held Baltimore's offense to 13 points and 228 yards on total offense. I mean, was that performance more about Kansas City's defense or more about Lamar Jackson's need for improvement, especially when he's trailing in games?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's a little bit of both. And you've heard me say this before, like a player's character is so consequential, in their development. And, his yards per pass attempt isn't bad. It's 16th in the league at 7.48. His completion percentage is a healthy 68%, which is also 11th best. So those numbers are trending in the right direction. I think they just lost to a better team last night. And does his accuracy still, can it improve? Yeah, I think what we saw last night was, the best in the world against another really good quarterback. The really good quarterback's just not in that conversation yet, and hopefully one day he'll get there.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us for the show. Last one potentially for me, Mike. I know he's the best probably that to ever have done it. Like, Bill Belichick's as good as it gets. But with all the players that opted out, you got Cam Newton. People weren't even sure if he was healthy. Coming in, new system, new offense, and everything else. All right, I don't want to say, are you surprised? But, I mean, are we giving them enough credit for what they've been able to do in such a short period of time with this team?
Yeah, Rick, it's totally a fair point. I had the privilege of working for Coach Belichick twice in my career, once in Cleveland, once in New York. And what's remarkable about him is he is a genius because he could take a lot of information and simplify it. And what I mean by that specifically is what gives us the best chance to win. And look, I would have bet my house on the fact that Darren Waller was not going to beat him, because clearly that's who beat the Saints the week before. He took Waller out of the game. And then on the other side of it, they were able to run the ball on the perimeter against the Las Vegas Raiders. And that was the key of the game. And I think he's a matchup-specific offense and defensive-minded coach, meaning he has his core philosophies, but what's going to give us the best chance to win? And you'd be surprised, and I've been part of hiring 4 coaches and probably interviewed 50 or 60 of them in my career. So many coaches make the mistake of saying, this is my scheme, and I'm going to live and die with it, where Coach Belichick takes the approach of, in the salary cap era, here's what I have this week, be it because of contracts, injuries, whatever it may be, and here's the best matchup I have, and we're seeing it play out in New England. I think they're going to win the division because of it.
Mr. T, what does Arthur Blank do with Dan Quinn, his head coach? Is he going to finish the season as their guy?
I hope so. I like Dan a lot. I've worked with him. He's, with me, their glass is half full from a standpoint of they've had these massive leads. They got to finish games. There's a handful of plays I'm sure they'd like to have back, but if that onside kick doesn't happen, Chris, we're not even having this conversation. And I know there's an uproar to say, hey, let's make a change. But, you know, when it's working, when you're taking the team to a Super Bowl, to me, that's hard to replace. And to me, that standard is very high.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7. Who's, if we assume, and I will still say that Baltimore's the second best team in my mind in the AFC. If they are, who's the next best team? Is it Buffalo? Is it Pittsburgh? Is it Tennessee?
It's Tennessee for me. I think they're the second best team. I like them more than Baltimore because Ryan Tannehill has played really, really good football over, you know, the last year and change. And for me, they can rush the pass. So I think Clowney will work his way into better game shape. But there's a team that can pass the score. They can run it with Henry. Gostkowski looks like he got through that first game. They have a good field goal kicker. So I think they check every box. And they beat Baltimore last year. And, you know, last night ESPN reminded us Baltimore was the number one seed last year, not Kansas City. And that game, the championship game, was in Kansas City because Tennessee knocked out Baltimore. So I think we've already seen Tennessee beat Baltimore in Baltimore. I don't think Pittsburgh's going to be there in the end because I just think Ben's too old. And we'll see that play out. But I think it's clearly Kansas City, Baltimore, and Tennessee's a discussion, and then everybody else.
Mike, last question for me. Two parts. Are the Chicago Bears a playoff team with Nick Foles as their quarterback? And have we seen the last of Mitch Trubisky in a Bears uniform?
I think the Bears have a much better chance of making the playoffs because of Nick Foles. There was a decision that I couldn't understand 3 weeks ago. They finally got it right. And, I think Mitch Trubisky needs to go the route of Ryan Tannehill a year ago, Marcus Mariota in Las Vegas, Jameis Winston in New Orleans, which is he has to go to a great quarterback developer next year. He has to get away from the big market and the media and invest in his career for a year or two and see what he has. Look, we saw Nick Mullins go in and play really, really well against, you know, the Giants last week. That didn't happen overnight. He's been coached and developed by Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, and it makes a difference. So if Trubisky works at it, he'll have a chance. It's just not going to happen in Chicago.
Ricky, you said potentially. That was the last one for you.
No, I told you. Okay. I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. I'm trying to stick to my word. I was going to ask him something. I was just going to ask him how excited Rex used to get when they talk about foot athletes, but I decided to avoid that.
What we've decided, Mike, is when he does something like this, which happens often, you ignore and you move on. But you know what I'm noticing about you, Mike? You seem very energized today. Like very peppy and energized. Am I accurate to pick up on that?
Yeah, and I appreciate you asking me, Dave. You know, again, I believe in X2, which is an all-natural, healthy energy drink. You go to x2performance.com. A lot of professional athletes use it. It's healthy. It's natural. It's NSF certified, so you know exactly what you put it in your body. And I would recommend it for you guys, and it'll make you get through your show and give you sustained endurance.
All right. Very good. Mike, we appreciate it. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week. So let me ask you this. Are we talking about 2-0-4 teams next week, or is there a chance that the Jets are going to get a win on Thursday night?
Oh, I like the Jets this week, right? If they're ever going to win, guys, they're going into the stadium with the better quarterback, aren't they? And that's the first time we could say that in a while. So they're home, it's a short week, and they got the better quarterback. So let's hope the Jets get their first win Thursday night.
All right. Good stuff, Mike. We appreciate it as always.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right. It's almost sad.
It's almost sad that we have to say that, though.
If they're ever going to get a win, it's got to happen on Thursday night.
That was Driscoll, because Driscoll came out of that game.
Yeah, he got benched, and then Rippon went in. And then they're even saying, like Fangio even said, they could be, highly unlikely, but even Blake Bortles would be in
Bortles?
The mix.
No, I would think Rippon before Bortles, I would think.
Yeah, me too. I mean, Bortles just got there.
I'm rooting for the Jets this week.
I don't understand why.
Because I wanted to get the number one pick if I'm going to be that bad.
Oh, we're already doing this. We haven't even played our fourth game and we're doing this.
Yeah. Are the Giants going to beat the Rams?
No.
Are the Giants going to beat the Cowboys?
No.
All right, so I'm 0-5, right? There's nothing I can do to avoid 0-5. Yes. You know what? I'm already doing that.
Yeah, but it's not in your best interest. What you need to understand here is us losing games with the Jets, right? And I would rather not get rid of Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold could be our franchise quarterback. I just think with the lack of talent and the coaching, it's just he's in a terrible spot. We're trying. Our head coach has one foot out the door. Like, he's not going to be the head coach of this team next season.
No.
It's in the best interest of your team for your head coach, who is going to be here next year, we'd all assume, to actually win some games. Us makes no difference because we're going to have a new coaching staff. I
would agree with that. But, you know, I'm not going to win this one, and I'm not going to win the next one, and there's a lot that I have no chance to win. So even if he does win some games, that could be two or three or maybe four, of which maybe the Jets can win a couple games and have a better record than the Giants.
Yeah, well, listen, I understand why you're saying it. I just feel like you're mocking me for some reason.
I'm not. Chris, do you feel like I'm mocking him?
I don't feel like you're mocking him. And here's the other thing I'll say about the Giants. I'm not too sure that Joe Judge is going to be the head coach of that team next year. Because you might be in a situation where you have to find a new general manager. And who's to say that that GM is not going to want his pick a head coach? I think both teams are a mess right now.
If that happens, you're officially the Jets.
Both of them are in a race to the bottom to see who can get the number one overall pick.
It's a disaster.
If that happens, if what Canty said just happens, that you are officially the Jets, there's no more...
You started.
But hold on. Are we the Jets, though, Rico? Rico, are we the Jets? We're not saddling a general manager with a head coach or saddling a head coach with a new general manager. It would actually be a general manager picking his head coach, which is how most teams do it.
Well, no. Is exactly what we'll do after the season. Joe Douglas will pick his head coach.
Yeah.
G-I-A-N-T-S. Jets.
Unless Chris Johnson has a great conversation with someone in football.
Well, no. Here's the other thing, though, too. You have to take into account. It is what happens when Woody comes back. You don't think he's going to have a say in what happens?
I'm sure he will.
Okay. So, I mean, that's another X factor.
Another flying ointment.
It really is a nightmare. It really is.
And this is New York football.
Now, you have the contrast of two organizations last night that are run really well, and you see that actually play out because they're competitive every single year. And then you have the Jets and the Giants on the opposite end of the spectrum.
2020 New York football is a microcosm of 2020 in the real world. That's what it is.
But it's not just 2020 New York football, Dave. It's 2019 New York football. It's 2018 New York football. It's 2017 New York football.
Pandemic football has been here for years. But the actual pandemic just started this year. Santi, if you would. Yeah, we should probably use two more. And one more. The Titans have had three new player positives and five new personnel positives for COVID-19. This is from Tom Pelissero and Mike Garofalo reporting this as well. Both the Titans and Vikings, who hosted them Sunday, will suspend in-person club activity starting today. Will not pick up until at least Saturday, and games are certainly in question for this weekend. So this is the first, oh boy, as far as the NFL is concerned, guys.
Yeah, they're gonna have to reschedule those games this weekend, though. There's no way that those teams can be out of the facilities until Saturday and us expect them to be able to play a game on Sunday.
No, they're not
gonna. Like, that's affecting competitive balance. So now you're talking about the regular season being extended a week.
I wonder if you could play it, like, next Tuesday.
I mean, you're still talking about affecting the integrity of the season and competitive balance, Dave. I don't know that you could possibly do that.
You got to look when the teams have their byes, too.
Yeah, they got different byes.
Yeah.
So the Texans and Vikings have different byes, and Tennessee and Pittsburgh have different byes. So you'd have to extend the regular season another week, which the NFL allotted for.
Sure.
They said that they can push the Super Bowl back, which means they can push the playoffs back. So that's what we're talking about. The NFL is not going to be immune to the pandemic that's going on around them.
Of course it's not. And when you see them celebrating in Tampa, it's only a matter of time until this hits the NFL and the pro sports, and now here we are. So Steelers-Titans was supposed to be 1 o'clock on this Sunday, and then Vikings were supposed to be at the Texans 1 o'clock on Sunday as well. So we just don't know, right? You can't imagine they're going to be able to play on Sunday.
No,
they're not going to play those games on Sunday.
I'll be interested to see what happens. I guess from what I'm reading is that when the Vikings were made aware of the Titans' positives, no one had yet tested positive with the Vikings.
Yeah, that's what Chris Mortensen is reporting. No positive test with the Vikings.
Over the next couple days.
If they start testing positive?
If they start testing positive.
That'd be awful.
I hope not. I hope this is just a blip on the radar, dude. I don't want to go back to not having sports around again.
So we're going to have a lull here. Once the Yankees get eliminated by Cleveland, we're going to have a lull.
You really think so, though, before we get to CMT? Why don't we pick the Yankees-Cleveland series in the final segment? That's what we'll do.
Well, I don't think we need to pick it. We can talk about it. What's with you and picking? You love giving me anxiety is what you love doing.
Well, how is it anxiety? We'll pick the games.
Dave, after this weekend of NFL's picks, you're in a rush to pick anything? That's the part I don't understand.
You'll see the genius. I'll explain it to you in a minute. All right, let's go. Santi, from that news to positive news, give me the music.
All right, you're up, Rick.
All right, here we go, boys. Let's start with some local football, a little local flavor to Cuddle Mary Trash. Worst Jets or Giants performance in Week 3. I'm going to give you Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, or the New York Giants defense.
All right, I'll go. I will. So the worst is the Mary, yes?
Yes, correct.
All right, Sam Darnold, let me get down on a knee and ask you for your
hand. If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
He threw two pick sixes. Then he got sacked for a safety. One was on a first and goal, the interception. That was the worst I've seen from Sam Darnold in a very, very long time. I mean, there might have been ghosts on the field in Indianapolis. I'll marry Sam. I will cuddle, and I mean, this is a real cuddle. Like straight in, nuzzle in the
bombs
Giants defense.
They were awful.
I mean, there was no punting from San Francisco. If you don't laugh, you cry. And I just feel that Daniel Jones, he's in such a bad spot. The offensive line is a disaster. Continues to turn the ball over. So I'll trash him, but I still think he was brutal on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to agree across the board with Dave. We don't need to spend any more time here.
Guys are so disrespectful to Sam Darnold.
All right, best team. He was awful.
I know. Best team in the NFC today. Best team, in your opinion, in the NFC, Seattle, Green Bay, or Tampa Bay?
Okay, I'm going to marry Seattle.
We're going to agree.
I'm going to cuddle Green Bay.
Bombs and hilarious.
And I'm going to trash Tampa. I think Tampa can improve, but they're not there yet. Those other teams are clearly on another level right now.
Let me ask you this, though. Okay, time out. Let me ask you this, though. Both of you. Seattle's defense does not concern you at all?
It does.
They can get a stop when they need to.
Okay.
Right. And it does. But Green Bay's defense is not exactly the 85 Bears.
No, but Tampa's defense is legit.
But Tampa's offense is not nearly as good as the other two right now.
Yeah.
I don't think Brady looks great.
At the moment, Tampa's offense is not as good as Green Bay or Seattle's, but their defense is better than both of those teams.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Second best quarterback in the NFL. Pat Mahomes is the best. We all know that. We saw that last night. Second best in the NFL as we sit here today. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and I'm putting this name in here because people are still talking about it, Josh Allen. At the moment, second best quarterback in the NFL.
I'm going to go the order you gave me. I will marry Russell Wilson.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
He's great. It's not meant to disrespect to Aaron Rodgers because he's sensational, has been unbelievable, but being second to Russell Wilson is no embarrassment. So I will cuddle Aaron Rodgers.
Bombs
Josh Allen has been great, but Josh Allen is not in the same class as those other two, so I will trash Josh Allen. And I have no doubt. Like, I would actually bet $1,000 right now that Chris agrees across the board.
I'm going to agree across the board, and I'm going to take it a step further. I don't know why Rico didn't improve Dak Prescott in that group. I would have put Dak Prescott over Josh Allen.
Well, because, you've already heard it. Between Dan Orlovsky and everybody else saying that Josh Allen right now is in the MVP conversation with Russell Wilson and Pat Mahomes.
I'm just saying, we can't hold Dak's defense against him. We got to start giving him some more love.
No, I'm not. I only have three.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if I were putting the three together, if I was putting the list together, I would have put Dak in over Josh Allen. That's all.
Yeah, but see, you don't understand the genius in this, is that I put Josh Allen there for that reason.
We could kill him?
Exactly.
Genius.
All right, most impressive win of Week 3. What Kansas City did to Baltimore last night. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was impressed. That was dismantling. I'm going to give you Green Bay going into New Orleans and beating the Saints. And I'm going to give you Seattle beating Ray Santiago's Dallas Cowboys. Most impressive win.
So it's KC, Green Bay, Seattle, right?
Correct.
Yes. Okay. Chris?
Oh, I'm going to go with Kansas City. Coming off of that game against the Chargers, I did not think they would be able to kick it into high gear and do what they did against the Ravens in Baltimore. Like, I get it, there's no fans, but still, they dismantled a 14-win team from a year ago. Like, just took them apart like it was nobody's business. So I got to go with that. I'm marrying them as the most impressive win of the weekend. I am going to cuddle the Green Bay Packers going down to New Orleans
bombs
and winning.
And
even though Drew Brees has passed it, New Orleans is still a solid team. And I never felt like Green Bay was going to lose that game. So that was impressive to see them perform like that, because we all thought that Green Bay would take a step back this year. Seems like they've turned it up a notch. I'm going to trash Seattle winning over Dallas just from the standpoint of I think these two teams are going to be there, you know, in the end of this thing. They'll both be playoff teams. They'll both probably win playoff games. So it was a closely contested game. Seattle came on top at home. It just is what it is.
I'll agree across the board. KC was great. Green Bay was great as well against, a lesser team. And Seattle got it done, but I thought they had some missteps. And they were five-point favorites, so I will agree straight across the board.
You know what Chris just said? I just had an epiphany. Could you imagine, as a Jets fan or a Giants fan at this moment, saying, you know what? Quarterback's passed it. Drew Brees has passed it. He was 29-36 with 288 and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, but you know what? They're not good. That offense is not good.
No, I get it.
Everything's a check down, though.
No, I understand it. But to get that much production from a quarterback that everyone thinks has passed it, I mean, there's something to be said about having talent around you and a good coaching staff. Like, if you're able to squeeze that much out of a 41-year-old quarterback that everyone thinks is done, you got two young kids. You got Sam Darnold going into year three, and you can't get anything out of him? It's a joke. All right. No Saquon Barkley, no Christian McCaffrey, right? Both hurt. McCaffrey will be back. Saquon's done for the season. A couple performances stood out for me this weekend, Dalvin Cook being one of them. So I got most dynamic running back. Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, or Aaron Jones?
Cook, Jones, or Kamara? All right. I go here. Kamara. I mean, that was an unbelievable game. He takes little passes. I'll marry him and takes him to the house. The one where it was a Jair Alexander, like, bumped into him trying to tackle him was an embarrassment. But I'll take Alvin Kamara as the most dynamic.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Of those running backs. I'll go with Dalvin Cook next up.
Bombs and hellacious.
It's close. It's not a home run for me, but I'll go Cook narrowly over Jones, who I'll trash of that trio. I wouldn't be disappointed if you went Kamara, Jones, Cook, though, Chris, which I think you might do.
Yeah, here's the thing, Dave. I know this is going to sound crazy. As good as Alvin Kamara is, as good as he is, he's really good, Dave.
You're not going to marry Kamara?
No, I'm not going to marry Kamara, man. I'm going with Aaron Jones.
Wow.
I don't know if people have been paying attention to what Aaron Jones has been doing in Green Bay. But Aaron Jones is a beast. I mean, you can put him in the backfield. He's going to be able to run in between the tackles. He can get the tough yards, but you can also split him out and run routes like a receiver. I know Alvin Kamara has that aspect to his game, but we're talking about Aaron Jones being able to catch the ball downfield against cornerbacks. To me, that's just next level. I'm just saying, people need to pay a little closer attention to what's going on in Green Bay with Aaron Jones. He's a really good football player. So I'm going to marry him. I'm going to cuddle Kamara.
Bombs and hellacious.
And I hate to do this to a really good football player, but I'm going to trash Dalvin Cook.
Look at this garbage! Look at this garbage!
Dalvin Cook just gave you 181 and a touchdown, 22 carries, and you're trashing him.
Yeah, but when I'm comparing him to those two running backs?
No, I know. I'm just playing.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, boys. There you go. That is a Tuesday edition of an NFL CMT.
A wonderful CMT, which went a little long, so we can't go to the tweeters, but we'll do that on Thursday. We do want to remind you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.